Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 is where we will begin this morning. Y'all may be glad to know that I plan on finishing this chapter today. We've been in it for, I guess this is the third message. It may scare you that today I've planned to cover 12 verses before I've covered 2 and 3 verses at a time. But it'll be okay, all right? Maybe a little bit longer, but it'll be okay. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God. And let's pray that we hear from God. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again we pray that you will speak to us this morning by your word. Father, I desire to be used of you, Lord, as an instrument of your glory. Father, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, and I hate to start out on a negative note, but we live in a pretty messed up world. It seems like all common sense and all logic has left society. I said last week I was going to mention a couple things this week, and I am. The things that are plaguing our society today are just absolutely mind-boggling. One of which is the movement of wokeism. Now, if you've never heard the term woke or wokeism, I want to share with you what it means. It is a Marxist, yes, a socialist Marxist-based movement that's actually becoming the religion of today. And it believes or it sees our nation as being filled with oppression from racial injustice and gender norms. Therefore, the goal is to destroy this nation because that's the only cure is to destroy it and rebuild it. It started with displays or public meetings, if you will, that would express their concerns. And now it has, many of these movements, it has moved to the point of violence through such organizations as Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And it basically seeks to hush logical thinking. Just honestly. It seeks to destroy the fundamentals that we know in this life. Fundamentals like marriage being between a man and a woman. It seeks to destroy the family because children should be raised by community, in their view. It seeks to destroy the gender barrier. And I'm sorry, but a man's a man, a woman's a woman. And it seeks to destroy all these things and establish a Marxist utopia. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time defending or tearing down, but if you would go in the direction, in this direction, I would just challenge you, show me a socialist republic that is successful. There are two classes in socialism. There's the government, who the rich, and everybody else who's poor. That's the way it is. These movements, or this wokeism movement, where's it coming from? It's coming from our education system. From our colleges, even high schools. For now, critical race theory is being taught to our kids. And you may not know what critical race theory is, but it's the other side of the same coin of wokeism. See, critical race theory argues that American social life, political structures of America, and the American economic system are founded upon race. Critical race theory says if you're white, you're the problem. And that if you are white, you should basically apologize for your whiteness. You have to understand, I do not believe in abusing anyone because of the color of their skin. I don't care if you're blue, gray, green, or purple. If you're a human being, Christ died for you. Okay? But we face these challenges. And we've got to ask ourselves, how are we going to respond? Okay? How are we going to respond? Because, beloved, you're going to face it, college students, you're going to face it. You're going to go to college and you're going to have at least one professor who's going to try to strip you of your faith. High school students, you're going to face it in high school. It's creeping in earlier and earlier in our education system. That's why now they don't want, as a whole in the United States of America, they do not want parents reviewing the class literature any longer because most parents are going to disagree with what's being taught. How are you going to respond? That's what these verses are about. Listen, do I disagree with this stuff wholeheartedly to the very core of all that I am? I do not believe in abusing anyone. I do not believe in prejudice. I do not believe in... No. But I do not believe in losing your mind and destroying a country either. So I've got to ask myself, how am I going to respond? Number one, I'm going to have to determine and establish my position. This is the position that I have to take. Our position, if you will. Starting in verse 21, or restating verse 21, says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. That word overcome, it means to defeat or to conquer. There is a battle going on in our culture. And here is the danger for you and for me. The danger is bitterness. Bitterness toward all those who would oppose God and Christianity. And I see things going on that I know violates the Word of God.
And I know that's leading this nation to a path of destruction. Things like same-sex marriage, gay pride, and racism. And yes, there is racism, and racism is wrong. Okay? But instead of movements like the socialist movements that are being pushed, there needs to be a movement back to the Word of God that says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it does not say color anywhere in there. Okay? But I'll be honest with you, it's brought me to the verge of bitterness a time or two, and where I want to lash out at the opposition, and I've got to ask myself a question, will that help? Now, I know that people say, well, Brother Doug, that's all they understand is lashing back and fighting back. But God has not placed us here to fight like the world fights. As children of God, we're not told to take our guns and attack. We're not told to kill them all and let God sort them out. We're not here to ride in the streets nor to verbally assault those who would oppose us. Our only course of action is to overcome evil with good. That's our defense. That's our weapon. Oh, Brother Doug, it won't work. They're abusive and they're violent. You can't fight violence with goodness. Well, let's stop. And let's ask ourselves the question, if what we're doing is working. You see, what we're doing with all this racism that's being preached is we're drawing dividing boundaries. We're making people dislike, even hate people. And when Christians respond in bitterness and anger, and we become just like the world. It does not work. It just makes the wounds more deep. Look at where we are now. Democrats are against Republicans, Republicans against Democrats, because they are Republicans or Democrats. I quit watching CNN some time ago. Had to cut way down on my Fox watching. Because of the hatred that spewed from both directions. I don't want that. I'm not here to hate people. I'm here to love people enough to share the Word of God. You see, this is why we're told we establish our position not as being whites against blacks or blacks against white. We establish our position of fighting evil with good. Being able to look at people and say, I disagree with you, but I love you and I'll do anything I can do to help you along the way. You see, that has to be our position. They have to see Jesus in us, or they'll never see Jesus. I'm not saying agree with them. I'm not saying support them, get on their side and encourage them. I'm not. I'm saying be careful how you respond to them. We establish our position. Position being fighting evil with good. We establish our passion. Here's what's missing today. Verse 9, back in verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Let's start with our passion. Let love be without hypocrisy. Do you understand what love is? Often we confuse the word love and like. Just because I like something does not mean I love it. And just because I love a person does not mean that I do not dislike them. Okay? There's a difference. Love, biblical love, agape love, is always used in the Bible associated with action. Now, it is a noun, but it's always associated with action. Okay? Nowhere in the Scripture is God presented as being God as being a God of love that is just feeling. God is not sitting up in heaven looking at you and saying, "Oh, I just love Him so very much." That's not God. Okay? Now, God does love you. Don't misunderstand me. But see, there's a depth to the love of God that the world does not know and understand. Because, you see, God's not just saying, "I love that guy." He's saying, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." You see the difference? It's not a feeling. It's an action. It's more than an emotion. I want to tell you something. God knew that there would come a time in the United States of America where men would dress like women and women would dress like men and not know if they were man or woman. But God so loved the world that He gave. God knew there would come a time when there would be gay pride movements and parades in the street promoting that alternate lifestyle. But God gave. God knew that there would come a day when our culture would stand against everything that God stands for. But God gave. For you see, that's the love of God. It's not just a feeling. That's the kind of love we're challenged to have when it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." We want to say that we love. But here's the question. If you truly love, what are you giving? We can apply John 3:16 like this. And I'm not trying to change Scripture. But this is a God kind of love. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, what if we said, "For Doug so loved the world that He gave," and then fill in the blank. See, that's the kind of love I'm supposed to have. That even though I can see the imperfections in people, even though I can disagree with the lifestyle of people, that I can still look at them and say, "I will give my life to see them saved." That's a God love. What are you giving so that the world may know Jesus Christ? That's genuine love. You see, the problem with our country today is not racism, even though there's a racism issue. The problem with our country is not sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, or gender crisis. That's not our problem. The problem is lost people are acting like lost people. And we're shocked by that fact. But the only cure for lost people is the love of God. They're not going to be saved unless you and I love them enough to show them Jesus. So my passion has to first be love. Then my passion has to be to abhor. You know what that word it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy"? Abhor what is evil. You know what that word abhor means? I'm going to tell you what I'm about to say may be offensive to some. But I'm going to say it anyway, because if it does, you need to be offended. That word abhor means to hate very strongly. "Brother Doug, do you mean I'm supposed to hate?" You are absolutely supposed to hate. "Oh no, I just don't believe that. That's not the kind of God we serve." You don't know our God. Let me take Proverbs. Chapter 6, verse 16 says, "These things the Lord hates." You know what that word hate means? I don't know how else to say it. Other than He hates it really, really bad. Okay? "Yes, 7 are abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running evil or running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." God hates those things. Ooh, Brother Doug, you're getting on dangerous ground. No, I'm just trying to dig up your passion a little bit. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So not only are you required to love, you're supposed to hate. Now hang on to these two things and let's talk about the last one there. Cling to what is good. We're going to love, we're going to hate, and we're going to cling to what is good. That word cling means to glue or cement, join with. And the idea is that it's something you refuse to give up. Something you absolutely will not let go of no matter what. See, here's today's mentality of this me generation in which we live. We say, we need to get on board with these Marxist liberals because there has been racism in the history of our country. Really? Yes, there has been racism in the history of our country. But I will present to you that I do not know of anybody here that's ever owned a slave. Does that make what's happened right in the past? Absolutely not. Do we support slavery? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But beloved, you do not get on board and promote such movements that will destroy this nation, and that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. You have to cling to what is good. You know, to get in, well, brother, and there are Christians who say, well, we've got to support them and encourage them. No. That's like me saying, I need to get drunk once a week so I can relate to the alcoholic. No. No. You don't become like them. You share Jesus with them. Cling to your God. And see, and that's why we lose so many people along the way is because they're exposed to that. It sounds good and they tell half-truths and they get them involved. And listen, once you get involved, it's like a vacuum. You will support things that you initially didn't agree with. Before you get out, you'll support it. And you'll agree with it. Here we go. Love, hate, and cling are passionate words. Are you with me? They are passionate words. And you see, the problem in churches today is that we've lost the fire. No longer do you see churches on fire for God because we've been told so much that we're intolerant, we're biased, and we're uneducated, and we just don't understand the way the world really is today. And we've come to the point where we felt guilty about standing for what is right. And so now we're afraid to say anything that might possibly offend somebody. That's why pastors get on TV and they're asked the question, do you think homosexuality is a sin? And they say, well, now we really don't like to call it sin. Let me tell you something. It's a sin. Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Blasphemy against God is a sin. Taking the Lord's name in vain is a sin. And beloved, what we need in God's churches is for the church to become passionate about what God says again. That's what we've lost. Religion has become this nice little thing that we walk into and do once or twice a week, this little worship service, and everybody leaves, everybody's happy. No! You remember I told you it's okay to hate? There are some things you're supposed to be passionately against. We're required to love. We're supposed to be passionately for getting Jesus to this lost and dying world. This country has one hope. And that is for God's people to get on fire about Jesus Christ and salvation for this country. That will deliver us from the terrible place that we're in. And the only way that's going to happen is when God's people get on fire again. Churches have caved in on critical moral issues, doctrinal issues, accepted the culture and preached this critical race theory and accepted Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And Jesus has taken a backseat to all this junk. And that's what it is. It's junk. Jesus is the head of the church. The salvation message should be the mission of the church. Not all these movements. So I tell you what, Jesus would fix the prejudice problem if we could just get people saved. You see, when you lose your passion, when you're afraid of those words like love and hate and clean, when you lose that passion, you'll just start accepting things that are not acceptable to God. I mean, after all, we're just all sinners, right? Trying to get to heaven? No. I'm a blood-bought, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, born again, child of God, and I want the world to know it. I don't care who is offended by it. But at the same time, I want the world to know. I want the world to know the love that I have experienced through Jesus Christ. You understand? You see, you can stand in today's world. You can stand for the faith. When we get this love and this hate and this clinging right and when overcoming evil with good becomes our weapons, then we're ready to live. You see, we get to this... Then we're ready to get over to verse 10. I know what you're thinking. You think, oh no, you're just now in verse 10, Brother Doug? Yes, I am, but we're going to breeze through some things. You see, these are commands on things you should do. But let me tell you, if you don't start with attitude, I'm going to overcome evil with good, you're not going to get back up into this stuff. If you don't start by being passionately in love with Jesus Christ and passionately have a desire to share Jesus Christ with the world, you're not going to get into this other stuff. If you don't passionately hate evil and wickedness, you're not going to get into this other stuff. If you don't passionately cling to God with all your might, you're not going to get into this good stuff. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor and giving preference to one another. You see, when you start acting out of love, when you start being passionate about Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get on fire about your church again. I love Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I love seeing every one of you every Sunday. It's good for God's people to gather together. That's where you say amen. If you don't believe that, you need to go back to stuff that I've already preached and you need to get on fire. Okay? Oh, listen. When I'm loving, when I'm passionate about Jesus Christ, I don't have a problem with being kindly affectionate to you. Oh, here's verse 11. I like verse 11. Oh, this is good stuff. When I'm on fire for Jesus, verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Did you wake up this morning saying, glory to God, it's the day I get to go to church? Or did you wake up this morning and say, oh, no, I hope that preacher don't preach too long. The difference between fervent and not. What about your teachers? Are you fired up about your class? I don't care what age group it is. What about those who are serving in some other capacity? Are you fired up about what you're doing? Beloved, COVID has tried to extinguish the fire in the church. It has. And we've made excuses and all this other. No, God's still the same God. The church is still the same church. And we need her now more than we ever have. We go on. When we get that the fervency and the loving, the hating right, we'll rejoice in hope. That we always know that there's always something to be thankful for. As we watch the news and the daily numbers of COVID rise, we can still rejoice because we know that there has been a place prepared for us eternal in the heavens. We know where we're going. that as we watch the news and we see what's going on in Afghanistan and our heart breaks for those troops who've lost their lives and we see that, we don't get depressed. We know where it's all going to end. It's going to end with Jesus Christ coming back. There's always a reason to smile. There's always a reason to rejoice if you're a child of God. We get it right. We'll be able to bless those who persecute us. That is bless and not curse. Oh, glory, this is the hard one. Before you put a post on Facebook, you got to ask, am I going to help it or am I going to contribute to the problem? Just because you think it does not mean you should put it on Facebook, okay? Just because you think it does not mean you should say it. We need to be able to look at people who are sinners acting like sinners and let them know we care. Oh, but Brother Doug, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. I do understand. It's hard when you know people are going to spit in your face. But you know what? They spat upon the Savior. It's hard when you know people do not like what you're doing. But you know they didn't accept what Jesus did either. But Jesus Christ still went to the cross of Calvary on our behalf. That's love. And that's the kind of love we've got to have. Verse 18, If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on you. That means you do everything you can do to live peaceably. Now, will there come a time when you can't? I mean, that's just not an option. Yes, there will come that time. But even when that time comes, and the world is fighting against you tooth and nail, you've still got to fight evil or overcome evil with goodness. That's why I don't post on Facebook. They can have my gun when they pry it out of my cold, dead hands. God doesn't give me permission to go to the streets and carry my little gun. And I don't have that option. The only option I have is to love. To overcome evil with good. Oh, I have that fleshly side that says, oh, get them, get them. No. No. It's not who we are. Verse 20. Oh, I'm sorry. I do want to put this. Verse 19. And get this good. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. When somebody abuses you because of your faith, when somebody hurts your feelings, you do not have the freedom to strike back. You have the freedom to place it in the hands of Jesus Christ. You see, you're not the judge. He is. You do not have the right to hurt them because they hurt you. And here's the encouraging part. Okay? When it says give place to wrath, what it's saying is let God take care of it. God is God. He knows what they have done to you. He knows who's wronged you. He knows. Now, you just overcome evil with good and let God be God because He's the judge. He knows how to handle it. It kind of gives you the impression if you start getting over in God's business, He's not going to mess with them on your behalf. You're trying to take care of it yourself. Just let God take care of it. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink.
For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, when you're nice to people, that just makes them angry because they know how they've abused and mistreated you. That's not what this says. It says, as you do, you know. As you feed your enemy, as you give your enemy drink who's thirsty, you know this. God's keeping record in heaven. I recall the days, or in the Bible, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You know, Lazarus, he had the crumbs from the rich man's table. Rich man, he had it all. They wound up in heaven. Well, Lazarus wound up in heaven. And rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and cried out, "Oh, please send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch to my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames." You think God didn't know how to give that rich man his just deserts? God knows how to take care of you too. There are some battles we don't have to fight. All we've got to do is overcome evil with good. See, there's coming a day of judgment. God is keeping record. And I want to close this by sharing with you, as a child of God, don't get discouraged. Okay? Things are going on that we all disagree with, but I can tell you none of it has caught God off guard. God sees it. He knows it. He has a plan. And the ultimate plan is Jesus Christ is coming back. And I believe it's very, very close. Right? But until that day comes, it's our job to overcome evil with good. You may be here today and I want to start you, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to start you down the path of good. You see, Jesus Christ is good. He was God in the flesh, came to this earth, lived a perfect and sinless life. On your behalf, He went to Calvary to die and pay for your sin. Why? Because you've sinned. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but you are a sinner. Everyone has sinned. Okay? You've done things that you should not have done. You have transgressed God's law. And if you have never taking care of that sin, I will tell you by the authority of the Word of God, you will not go to heaven. Well, Brother Doug, I'm young. I got a lot of time. Really? You know how many young funerals I've preached? Don't think you've got all, 70, 80 more. No. God has brought you here today to give you the choice. Sharing with you that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life for you. Now, you respond. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. Turn from whatever it is that you're trusting in and you turn to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. You need to take care of that. Why? Because baptism is your public testimony that you belong to Jesus Christ. You need to let everybody know you're a child of God. Maybe you're here today and this condition of the world and news and things going on just overwhelmed you and it's just got you in the worst of moods. And listen. Listening? God's still God. He's got this. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I know where we're going. I know where we're going to be when we get there. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would give us a fire in this church. That You'd help us to realize that, Lord, it is okay. It is expected that we love. And to love with a passion, so much so that we give so that the world can know Jesus Christ. Help us to realize and to understand it's okay, no, even expected that we hate wickedness and evil. And to cling to what is good.
Help us to be passionate in our faith once again, Lord. Fired up for Jesus. Passionate about our service. Help us, Lord. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.